TSF Entertainment.
Yo, 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 and we back here at TSF Entertainment. This time we bringing you BMF Season 3, Episode 1, Detroit versus Everybody, and got none other than the Detroiter himself, Jocka Jordans.
Yo, yo, what's good?
What's good?
Should I say what up, though?
Oh, that's right. What up, though? That's right. That's right. What up, though? What up, though? That's right. Think about the episode. Before we get into it, what would you rate the episode?
I rate the episode probably about a 7. And it's only because it moved like real, real fast for me. It's introducing a lot of characters. I say a 7. And that's only because of the speed it went for the first episode. I feel like it's rushed a little bit.
For me, maybe like a 5.5, maybe 6. I get what you're saying with the new characters. Like, it is, it's a, man, we got introduced a whole bunch of new characters on the first episode. But yeah, it was just like, it almost feel like it ain't really season 3, because it was just like, it was on, which I get, it's supposed to be a continuation from the last episode of season 2. Mm-hmm. It was just like nothing. It was just, it was almost like it, I don't know. It was just like, but I guess it's hard to explain. But I guess, you know, once the season progresses, then like it'll start to, you know what I'm saying, it'll flow better. It was just like this episode, it was almost like it was a filler episode or something. But I guess we needed it because, like I said, we got to get the continuation from the last episode from season 2. So that was all the reason why I gave it low. So a lot of people said it was good, like it was real good. So I was anticipating, and I watched it, it was like, the hell, is, like, what y'all talking about? Because I don't see it. Like, maybe I missed it. So
this episode wasn't really that good, man. And it's only because, like you said, it was a continuation of the last episode and everything, and it was just picking it up on that. And then you got, like, the separation of the two. So now you're dealing with two totally different sceneries at this point. You know, you got to catch up with Big Meech, and you got to catch up with Southwest T. You know, you got characters that's being introduced in Detroit. Then you got characters being introduced in Atlanta. You know, so it's a lot going on. That's why I say I think it's moving very, very fast already.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. So BMF Episode 1, Detroit versus Everybody synopsis says, Meech officially relocates to Atlanta in search of expanded BMF. Terry remains in Detroit to maintain the BMF enterprise and to start a new life for his family. Meech learns that the move to Atlanta will be full of pleasant and unpleasant surprises. So the episode, as we can see, they fast forwarded. If you ever watch BMF, they did it season 1 and they did it on season 2. Last season, the first episode, they kicked off in 2005. And they were at T House before T ended up getting locked up by the feds. Mm-hmm. So this one, season 3, fast forwarded to 2007, Detroit, where, as we know, this is a continuation. They've already picked up T. Meech is already in jail. Mm-hmm. They pick up T. They have their little dialogue. So if you know the real story, you know exactly what happened here. Meech tells him, you know, take a plea deal, you know, like, I'm not trying to spend the rest of my life in jail. The only reason why we're here, because you was running your mouth on the phone, which we all know is true. That's literally how they got caught.
This is definitely a fact.
Yeah. Jocka Jordans can give y'all that whole full detail of everything that went down. But I saw some people talking about, you know, this is them foreshadowing what's going to happen to him at the end. And I'm like, yo, this is based off of a true story. I get it. Some of the stuff is loosely based, but it's like, we all know they get caught up. Like, this has been going on since season 1.
Yeah, this part right here, they didn't move far from the truth at all. I think that part was like spot on. Like, if you look into some of the other documentaries, you actually hear Big Meech, you know, saying that this is what happened. You actually hear about people that was in the courtroom that overheard them arguing, you know, when Meech said, just go ahead and just take the plea, you know, and people was, they heard them yelling at each other, and then they thought they had something, you know, because they was yelling at each other, but blood always thick in the water anyway, or at least in this case.
Yep, it always is. Blood thicker than water. And if y'all don't know or y'all haven't seen the news, it has been already confirmed that Meech will be getting out early sometime next year. I think he got, what, 32 months knocked off or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something
it was way too long anyway, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. <That's just me. laughs> So, episode kicks off, continuation. As we know, Saint, which was Boom's hitman, last episode, last season, shot at Markeisha, and T rode up on them at the red light, shot at them after they warned T to stay away from Markeisha. See them here. They are in the ambulance on their way to the hospital. It doesn't look good for Markeisha. The only joint about this that confused me, though, was when we get here to the hospital, it's like, I'm still trying to figure out how she take most of the, or how she get hit worse than T. Is what I'm still trying to figure out. Like,
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Like, either he's just a very, very bad shot, or maybe she was just did she jump over T trying? I have no idea.
I don't get it, because when you watch the last episode, the last season, T covers her up, like he jumps on her, and I'm like, he pulled up on T's side, and all he
that's
got.
That's the thing. He pulled up on T's side. Yeah, he pulled up on T's side. So I don't know if it was the kickback that ended up getting Markeisha hit. I don't recall exactly where she got hit at. Where did she get hit?
I don't even know. It looked like, let's go back here. It looked like she got hit. I don't know. It looked like she got hit in the stomach, chest area, as we can see, you know, the EMT putting pressure on the wound or whatever. But that's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, yo, how she get hit more than T, and it rolled up on T side.
Yeah, anyway, that's crazy.
The family comes up, Lucille, LaWanda. No, is it? It's LaWanda.
LaWanda.
Right?
Yeah, LaWanda.
His baby sister and Charles
go
to the hospital to come see about T. T tells us what happened. LaWanda gets pissed off and was like, that's what you get, et cetera, et cetera. I was trying to figure out why T called them in the first place.
I'm trying to figure out why LaWanda is even there. Like, LaWanda is hanging around the family more often than she ever has now, even after knowing what she knows. Why LaWanda is even there? T probably called because, you know, he probably just didn't want the street start talking, right? So he probably just didn't want nobody to run up to him and saying something the next day, the next couple of days, why they in church. You know, if we go not further down the line, Lucille already said the people at church is all in her business. Like, you know, how many lives that these cats actually got, because they only ninth one. You know, so I think that's why he called. My question is, why is LaWanda still coming around the way that she's coming around? Like, now you're putting yourself through the dramatics and through everything else. Like, why are you here?
I think it's two reasons. I think it's one, because Lucille told her last season that she needed to do everything she can to stop T from doing what he's doing. So I think she's trying to, you know, do Lucille's wishes. And then secondly, I think it's also because she's pregnant with his child. So she thinks at some point in time, like, that's going to pull him back in.
I can see that.
And they can get back together.
I can see that.
But I had that same question. When she showed up, I was like, why the hell is on it there? But then it went more to like, yo, who called them? But like you said, he more than likely did because of that. Him and his sister, they share a hug because she's worried, you know, and everything, especially since Meech went to Atlanta. You know, he said everything's going to be cool. So then we jump to Atlanta and we see Meech here, Mean Greeny, which is played by the character Neo.
What's up, Detroit?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Detroit. And if y'all remember from the last season, Monique's character, I can't remember her name, told Meech to go see Greeny, you know, to do some things. So he meets up with him.
Yeah.
And they work out a deal, but of course, Ernie wants 15% off top, which was a little high for Misha's liking, but he ain't had no choice.
They got everything. All you got.
Yeah, you all you got. You know, got the little move some stuff through the liquor store or whatever. It's all they got. So, you know, they come to a deal before they head over to the club. Of course, Misha gets a call from none other than Hoop and Roland, letting him know the situation that happened with T and Markeisha. You know, them getting shot at, Markeisha get hit real bad. And basically, we can already see this is, I don't want to say foreshadowing, because we kind of already know that T is going to be questioned a lot this season, but we can already see from Hoop and Roland, they already questioning T, like his moves already, because he on the warpath right now to try to go back and unalive Saint for shooting at him.
And I think like Big Meech hit it on the head, because when the situation was different, the situation on the other foot, the shoe was on the other foot, T was telling, you know, Big Meech to chill, you know, relax. We got to handle this a different way. Don't react off of emotions. And now T is in that same seat. And the first thing he want to do is react off emotions instead of, you know, thinking it out.
Yeah. So, and plus we all, when we get to that scene, I'll speak more on it. But T and Meech, they go back and
forth. T always got questions anyway, though. Like, even before this scene.
that's true. He definitely did.
Yeah.
So they go back and forth, had a little dialogue. Meech tries to be the voice of reason, you know, tell him chill out, think logically, you know, whatnot. T tells Boom and Roland, this is what's going to be done. And if y'all question me, y'all can go to Atlanta with Meech and roll with him. So we see there's going to be some tension this season in T's crew. Rest of the season just off of this, off the jump. T is back here with Green. I forgot the name of this club. It's not
Magic City. I can't remember the name of either. Yeah, I can't remember the name. It's Perfect Picture or something.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. Yeah. So, see here. Yeah,
one of my favorite scenes, though.
Yeah, it was, because it was hilarious. You know, he shows him, you know, the new club, the exoticness, all this other stuff. Tells him about the basketball players, how he makes things there. While we're at it, we meet a new character named Duffy, who is from Detroit and is also cool with, I guess he is either related or I don't think he's related. I think he's more so cool with Sterl, because he ended up bringing Sterl's name up later in the episode. So we meet new character Duffy here, who is from Detroit, to link up with Meech. We also meet three new characters, which we got Rip, we got Stacks, played by 2 Chain, and the other guy to the left of him is Diesel, who is another guy from
Detroit.
From Detroit. I think Rip is as well.
I'm ripping from Detroit, too. The only one that's not from Detroit is Stacks.
Yeah, Stacks is the only one, because he said born and raised.
He's from Atlanta. Yeah. Oddly enough.
Yeah. So we see automatically off the jump, Stax is not feeling Meech at all. He already got some animosity towards Meech. And I think it's because of the unaliving of Ty Washington.
Yeah.
Which Stax's character is the uncle to Ty Washington's wife, Deanna. As he said, you know, I did take care of my niece. You know, ever since Ty Washington, you know, got unalive. So he already ain't feeling Meech, you know. Like you say, he an outsider. Apparently Ty Washington ain't never mentioned Meech to him before. And I think he just feels some kind of way, you know, that Ty Washington got unalive from rolling with Meech.
Yeah.
While they there, Stax ends up seeing Remy Ransom, who is the one who unalived Ty Washington last season. So they just go right at it, get things kicked off. Meech, it was crazy when I saw Meech. I was like, yo, that's infamous. Like, that's the first thing folks pick up in the club is a bottle. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, damn. I'm like, as soon as the dude had the upper hand on him, the first thing he went to do, grab the bottle, bust it over his head. So,
yep.
He ends up. They end up getting into this little brawl and everything. I thought they were going to show, like, some more in this scene than just besides the brawl, like how it broke up, like, you know, maybe Green come back, you know, Green to come back out saying some things and whatnot, but we never saw it. We see them back here, which I'm going to assume this is Duffy's crib. They're here in the studio. You know, they basically say everything got, you know, they handle it with Remy Ransom.
Before you, before you go forward, I think that scene, like prior to that, I think that scene was just to show like solidarity and, you know, Meech just saying, I'm here, you know, so we go, we go all get rocking together, you know, so they definitely could have showed us a little bit more. But I think the purpose of that scene was just to all show just to show solidarity that he was, you know, that he was here, you know, I'm here with the team, ready to work and get this money.
I didn't even think of it that way. At all, but yeah, like you said, they back here, which I think is Duffy's crib because of the studio, you know, how they all held it down. But of course, once again, Stax is still not feeling him. Told him straight up, like, I ain't rocking with you. Meech tell him, like, I'm not coming here to try to replace Ty, you know, I'm just, you know, trying to, you know, all of us to get bread. But Stax ain't with it, so him and two of his people that they never introduced, they roll out while Rip and Diesel stay behind. So here we see Markeisha is in the hospital, still dealing from her gunshot wound. And T visits her. She ends up waking up. You know, they tell each other they love you. T tells her that he is going to handle Saint for trying to take them out. And she's basically like just telling them, this was the second voice of reason. She told him straight up, like, nah, like, leave it alone. It, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Like, you know, I don't want to see you end up getting hurt or you end up in jail or whatever behind this foolishness. But of course,
yeah.
T still ain't listening. Meech called him, you know, tender, you know what? Like, he basically said again, that's exactly what he thinking with right now. His nose is wide open for Markeisha, so.
Ain't T-Roll, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, even from the beginning, that was never really T-Roll. You go back from the first episode when he pulled the gun out, you still could tell that wasn't even his, you know, his role. You could tell, like, nah, this ain't your position, you know, stand down, you know, and that's why the result of taking care of the business it was handled the way it got handled. Because, nah, T, what you doing? You wildin', chill.
Yeah, you count the money and you figure out the ways we move the money.
Exactly, the way we gonna, yeah, that's what you do. Like, this extra stuff that you do, you got, and then why would you want to do that anyway? You at the top of the, you at the top of the top. You know, I get what he said, like, nah, I don't want nobody to think, you know, I'm kitty cat around here, but
yeah.
You know, you the boss.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that too. Yeah, I got where T was coming from, but like, yeah, just like you said, you delegate that. You the boss.
Yeah, you the boss.
You the boss. So we got Remy Ransom here along with Claude, and they are also speaking out the fight that happened at the club with Meech and his squad. While they're there, they end up grabbing some bags to take outside to the kids. Now, my question I was trying to figure out was, what was in the bags? Now, was it drugs or was it something else?
I'm thinking it was something else, that it was probably like some lunch or something, because the Red Dogs pulled up and they didn't take their bags. So I felt as though they would have took their bags. And the crazy thing is, I remember hearing like a task force. I'm not actually sure if it was called Red Dogs.
It was
a task force. Oh, so that was legit.
Trying
to get, you know, the people who was doing drugs and stuff like that out of Atlanta, so they could host the Olympics. I do recall that for sure.
So, if that's the case, the Olympics happened in Atlanta in '96.
So this was what, 92, I think?
It gotta be early. I almost feel like,
well, it might have been earlier than that, because they had to put a bid in for it, because 92 was Barcelona. So they had to put a bid in for it, and they were still bidding for it. So it might have been a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, so it might be.
It might have been 91, 90.
Yeah. Okay. So we somewhere. Yeah. Because I've been trying to figure out the year timeline for this. I know it's set in the early 90s, but I couldn't figure out exactly
when. Yeah, because you got to put your bid in prior to the 4 years. So I'm thinking it's probably like 91, 90, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere around that. So as we can see, the Red Dogs pull up on them and beat the living crap out of them. And I didn't think we were going to get introduced to the Red Dogs so early in the season. If you watched our predictions video, we spoke about the Red Dogs. If you're not aware with the Red Dogs, you might want to look them up. A short synopsis on them was, like they said, they were supposed to get rid of every drug dealer in Atlanta so they could host the Olympics. And they were known for their brutal tactics. Basically, they was just straight up police brutality squad, as you saw in the episode. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what they were known for, to get all of the drug dealers and all the drugs out of the city of Atlanta so that they can host the Olympics. I forget what year. I think it was 2001, maybe 02, but the Red Dogs are no longer. They got disbanded for that reason, for the numerous amount of complaints of the police brutality that they got. So here in this scene, shout out, man, Raw Dog Charles. Shout out, man. It's crazy how that became his nickname. I've been seeing that nickname everywhere. It's been cracking me up. Raw Dog Charles here with Lucille.
Oh,
in the bathroom here, and Lucille basically goes ahead and tells him that she wants to finalize the proceedings with the divorce. Charles still thinks they can work it out, but it's done.
Yeah, it's done. Not Raw Dog Charles. Not Charles. Yeah. Raw Dog Charles, like, you out of here. You done for. You cooked.
Yeah, like you. It killed me on this thing, because I'm like, bro, you just come up on it. I was like, you really think after all this stuff, especially the scene with she found the hotel receipt, you think, y'all, I'm going
to here's the thing, though. It was super messy. Like, come on now. You dealing with, like, it was crazy messy, right? You know, so not, you know, it's floating around in the church and stuff like that, because everybody knows everybody. It was crazy messy. That's, you know, some things is just, come on now, Raw Dog Charles. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
What are we doing? So here we have poor little Kevin. Bryant, son. Here we have
that
Kevin.
Kid done for.
Is sitting in a holding cell. He's still doing his comics and everything, doing his superheroes and whatnot. And Detective Bryant, of course, tells him, you know, basically, you know, I'm going to do everything to get you out. I promise that. You know, I'm going to make sure, take care of it, try to get you off or whatnot, which I'll save that for a prediction. I was going to say what I think is going to happen with this whole scenario, but since we only in the first episode of this season, I'll wait for that. While he's at it, he ends up going upstairs, and of course Jen is not rocking with him because of his tactics. He got kicked off. She got kicked off of the task force. Now I'm confused, because in the same scene he's suspended, but I'm like, the way he was packing up was like, I would think in this scenario, in this situation, he would have got fired.
I think he's suspended pending. They got to do their due diligence and suspended, you know, pending investigation. I think overall, I mean, we know how it goes, because, you know, we kind of see further down the line that he eventually gets his, you know, position back, his title back. For whatever reason, they're going to have to explain that to me. And they got to explain that in, like, grave detail, because I need to know. You know what I'm saying? I need to know. We got questions. We got Detective Bryant. We know about you, doggy. And we got words of camera. We know about you, doggy. Don't be. We coming back. I think it's all just pending investigation.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably exactly what it is.
Yeah. Because we know he gets job back.
Yeah. So here we get introduced to another new character. This whole episode is that, and I see why he said it so fast. Another new character. Like, they didn't even gradually bring them in. They just
bring all these new characters.
All these new characters in one episode. Got Detective Kobe Amberson here, who we found out is related to a councilman And Jen is not feeling her because she thinks automatically, because she's related to the councilman, she got her job from nepotism. Mm-hmm. And Amberton is basically telling her that's not the reason why I'm here. That's not how I got here, whatnot. So we know she's going to be out to prove that she is not here due to nepotism, and she can actually do her job. I don't even remember this character's name. I remember him from last season, but I can't remember his name. Rolls up on Amberton and Jim.
Cornball. Jen,
and tells them that Markeisha got shot last night, so they should follow up that lead on Markeisha and see exactly what happened, and maybe they could get some type of info on T or in general on exactly what ended up happening. So we got T here back at the record store, and he's basically pulling up on them, telling them, you know, what's going down, to put out the word to go find Saint so that he could unalive him. During this time, T apologizes to Hoop. Yeah, apologizes to Hoop for talking to him the way that he did. And Hoop tells him that Meech is calling already because he wants the other half of his bricks to bring down to Atlanta. T go ahead, sends him down to Atlanta to move the bricks down there so that it could get things moving. At the same time, T tells his crew to get back out on the street, get things moving back out there. And then he talks to, what's his name again? Sterl. Mm-hmm. And ask him, you know, have they have any leads or anything on him? I mean, on Saint, to find out where he at, and basically tell Sterl, like, you know, let me know, because I'm going to be the one to pull the trigger. I'm going to be the one to unalive him. So here we see again, this is what the third person we see kind of questioning T modus and T moves. So,
but here's my question though, because I, you know, when I look at him though, I see he still had on the Puritan Ave chain versus the BMF chain. But then again, is Big Meech and T the only ones that have BMF chains at this moment? Because I know they pop up everywhere later on. Maybe they're the only ones that have it on, because I just know, but I noticed because he was a Puritan Ave boy. So I'm like, wait, I thought they all kind of like combined, because you had the 12th Street, you had 50 Boys, you had Puritan Ave boys, and I thought they all combined to be BMF.
They did.
But that was just a little small nugget that I noticed.
Until you said that, I didn't even peep that they don't. I ain't even peep that. I think you're right. I think they're the only two who actually have BMF chains. I don't think nobody else has.
That's a little BMF weird to chains. Me, too. But we'll figure it out later.
Because I think Coop just has on a rope. He just got on you know, a big rope chain.
Maybe it's one of those things that's earned, like the Rockefeller chain or something. I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things that's earned.
I'm trying to think. Did B. Mickey have one last season? I don't think he did.
I think B. Mickey had one, though. I gotta go back and look. But I think B. Mickey had one.
Yeah, I gotta go back and look. I can't remember myself. So, of course, we go back to Atlanta here. We got Meech, Duffy, and Rip. Rip is in the studio laying down some bars. Of course, we all know at some point, Meech does get into the music game. So I'm guessing here, this is where he, you know, I guess we're getting that introduction for either later on down the season or even season four. You know, this is the introduction that we're going to get for him to start his BMF label. Meech likes what he hears. Says that Rip is a dope artist and that he needs to work on his craft more instead of being out in the streets, because he got great talent. Mm-hmm. So we can see here Meech already trying to help somebody out and trying to get him out the streets and whatnot. So I don't care what people say about Meech. If this is, I know, like I said, I know this show is like, it is some truth on it, and then it's some of the stuff, you know, they exaggerated for TV. But I'm like, if this was how Meech was in real life, you could tell, like, you know, Meech,
you know what? From what I heard, around that time, we talking 2007. At that point, I was out of high school for like 6 years. So I did hear like possible rumors or whatever, but they were saying that he was putting people in school and like he was like paying people houses off and putting them in positions to get money. Like he was doing a lot of stuff. You know, he wasn't the type of person that He wasn't a normal drug dealer, is what they said. Well, what they were saying, normal drug dealers, let me move everybody out of my way as much as possible. Meech was like, nah, we could all get this money at the same time. You know, we just need to be in the right position so we can all eat. And that's just the way that he, you know, from what I know, or from what people were saying, that the way he was always moving, always trying to make people better.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect that 100%. Like, man, that ain't your average. So I definitely, you know what I'm saying? I know what he did. You know, he moved weight out there. You know, at that point, you know,
He was
everybody
trying to
gonna
make sure
be.
everybody was good, though. You know, like everybody was good. Let me, oh, you rap? Let me put you in the position, you know, to do this. You know, you try to make sure everybody is good.
Yeah, you can't fault with that. So we see here Sterl is on the phone with none other than Meech, and he tells Meech, you know, the whole thing that T is not letting up on Saint. He said he's going to be the one to pull the trigger. He wants to be the one that unalives him. And Meech says here, that ain't T. He ain't built for that. Like, nah, like, if you find him, y'all go ahead, have somebody from your squad, go ahead, take him out, whatever. T ain't built for that. T can't handle that. You know, that's not what he does. No, I'm pretty much the enforcer, and that's what y'all do. So go ahead and handle that for me. As we can see, Meech is still looking out for his brother, although he's in Atlanta. So I think, like I said, even here in this phone call, it seemed like, you know, Sterl was like, yeah, like this is like this who we need. I don't. I'm thinking maybe at some point, I'm thinking maybe Sterl goes to Atlanta. 'Cause he ain't like the way T moving, but I'm not sure just yet. But like I
From
said,
what I get from T is he moves a lot off his emotions.
He moving off
You
his emotions.
know?
Like I said, this the first episode we can already see this. Like I said earlier, this is the third person that's already, you know, questioning T moves. So I won't be surprised if he don't. So here we have Lucille, who's coming home from work, and she's
The
talking to
old
none
school
other than.
Wendy's outfit.
I know, right? I saw that. I was like, dang. I was like, I ain't seen that in years.
The old school Wendy's joint.
Talking to none other than Charles, and she's telling Charles, like, you know, our business is all out in the streets. Everybody's coming up to me again, talking about how my son almost got unalived. They know all of our business, saying that he's lucky. I can't even go to church no more because they talk about us there. I want to just, you know, leave and go to a different church altogether. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, well, what else do you expect when both of your sons are two of the biggest known drug dealers out there in the city? So what you expect? Like, you working at Wendy's, Charles, I forgot, I think he was working at a plant or something.
GM.
Meanwhile, both of your sons. You got one driving around in the Benz with gold rims, and you got another one driving around in a Lexus. So it's like with these big chains on, I'm like, what you expect? Of course, everybody gonna know your business. Like, they not quiet about it. Like,
At all.
everybody know who your sons is, so of course they know. So while they're having that discussion, excuse me, Roland pulls up with some flowers and some food and steaks and whatnot.
Which is crazy.
Which I could tell right there, as we can see, Charles wasn't
Charles
feeling
was,
that
yo,
at
he
all.
was annoyed.
Yeah. I think it was, to me, I think he more so got annoyed when Lucille gave him a hug. And it also seemed like at the same time, like Roland was seemed like he was kind of flirting with her a little bit or something. And I think that's why he put him in a headlock and took back the key. Because Roland was saying, I'm just doing what Meech told me to do. You know, I'm coming, make sure you're eating good, make sure everything is good and whatnot. Because I was trying to figure, I was like, yo, bro, why would you take offense to that? If, you know what I'm saying? He's just looking out for it. But I think that's what it was when that hug, I think he was like, nah, bro, I'm not having this in my house.
I think it was a couple of things, man. You know, he already didn't want Meech kind of involved. Like, Meech became the head of his household. Like, last episode when the mortgage was behind and he paid the mortgage, you know, and all types of stuff. So Meech became the head of the household and they kind of moved Charles out the way, kind of, you know. So he didn't like that at all. It kind of was offensive to his manhood, kind of, you know, like my son is running things in this house. And you know, whatever, but Meech pay all the bills. Meech make sure they eat good. He takes care of everything. Charles is helpless. You know, I think at this point, this is more of a blow to his manhood. He feels emasculated at this point.
Yeah,
So I
as
think
a
it was a
matter of fact,
combination of a few things.
yeah, that's probably exactly what it is. So here, well, Meech got his bricks. He's meeting with Stacks, as what you can see is that Stacks still not feeling Meech at all, but he's willing to work with him.
For that
Meech gives
price.
him a low ball, I mean, not a low ball, but a lower price on the bricks, and he does it on purpose to see if Stacks is loyal and if he's gonna or if he's gonna run out in the streets and reveal the information of how much he paid to get his bricks or whatnot, which I think was smart because since they already don't have, you know what I'm saying, they already not on a cool, you know, cool relationship, that I think that was smart on his part because he like, you know, if I got to take him out, or if there's somebody who might stab me in the back, I need to know up front. So it
I
was
think
real
Stacks will
smart.
be solid. I think Stacks will be real solid, man.
Yeah.
I just think he just wanted to see where Meech was coming from. And
Yeah.
by Meech, as the new phrase goes, stand on business and always have stand on business. He's about his money. You know, he can't feel, you know, Meech out. He just popped up out of nowhere. You know,
Yeah.
I think Stacks is gonna be that guy. To be honest, I think he 2 Chainz Stacks, I think he's gonna be that guy. Sadly enough, I don't think he's gonna make it to next season, but I think he's gonna be that guy.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that same thing. We'll have to see as the season progresses, but yeah, I think eventually at some point he's gonna realize, like, you know, Meech a real dude. He real, you know, solid hunted and all that other stuff. He just got his reservations up right now because the
As
whole
he
thing,
should.
you know, yeah, which you should, because you
Yeah.
know what I'm saying, with Ty Washington, you know, he was working for Ty and now Ty gone, you know, messing around with Meech or whatnot. So I get it. Meech tells Duffy, you know, basically what he did and whatnot. You know, selling him lower to see if he's gonna run his mouth on the streets. So here, Marquisha is in the hospital. This, I got to say, this to me, this was like the best scene of the whole episode because it was
It
crazy.
was.
It was crazy only because of one part, and then which I was not expecting. I was like, yo, what? It came out of
Hey,
nowhere. I
here's
was.
the crazy thing is that I was like, okay, Barkisha, I see you. Okay, it was kind of one of them. I hate Barkisha. Okay, you
Yeah.
down for the ride? All right.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that joint caught me way off guard. I started laughing so
Yeah.
hard when she said it, and
Yeah.
I said, wow. I was thinking like, yo, was they really talking like this back in the day? Like,
They probably was.
but either way, it was still hilarious. Detective Amberson and Jan are trying to get information out of Markeisha about her shooting, who it was, whatnot. You know, Amberson brings up the question, which I'm not going to repeat, you know, of her covering for T. And of course, you know, she covers for T. She's a rider. She's not giving them any information. And she kicks them out of her hospital room.
While I still
Here,
look good.
so here, oh man, Dice. So here we got Dice. Dice was not a new character. He's a character from last season. He was the one
You
who
see
met
the
up.
Carl Canal jacket though? The Carl Canal pullover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what I wanted, but it was so quick, and I think that's him. But I'm not sure because I know at some point they had, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, they had some dealings with White Boy Rick at one time, right?
They did.
So this scene is weird. If you watch this scene right here, when Dice first gets out the car, there's a white guy that gets out with him. And then Meech and Duffy hand him the bags or whatnot. And but when Dice is going back to the car, dude not there no more. And he's not in the passenger seat. So I'm thinking maybe it was the editing, but I was wondering then, I was wondering if that was White Boy Rick that was with Dice.
I don't know, cause I mean, maybe they just had, cause when they show White Boy Rick in the beginning of seasons, it was Eminem. So I'm not really sure if I don't know. I gotta go back and check it out.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, when you watch this scene when Dice, like I said, as soon as Dice get out the car, it's a white guy that gets out of the passenger seat, or he comes from back from behind the trunk. But after Dice gets these bags from Duffy, and Meech, like dude disappeared. Like, he not even in the scene. He not even, he not in the back seat, passenger seat, none of that. So that was hella weird to me. But in this scene right here, though, Dice basically tells Meech and Duffy that we get a background story on Remy Ransom and why the way he is. Found out that Remy Ransom's brother got unalive. Somebody kidnapped him, left him in the woods. So basically, he is the, after that, that changed him into the Robin Hood of Atlanta. So that's why he's so tight-knit with the kids in Techwood Homes. Dice says that he walks them to school, pays people rent, you know, make sure that everybody's held down. So although Remy Ransom, you know, is the villain for Meech, at the same time, like, yo, he kind of like Meech. He's a good dude. Like,
he's like Meech, but he's territorial. You know, That's pretty much what it is. Because Meech would have been like, well, we all can get this money together. Remy Ransom is like, nah, I'm going to take care of my people. You stepping on my toes. You got to go, bro.
Yeah. So I'm wondering at some point, maybe him and Meech finally do come to an understanding. Maybe at some point they join up to take out the MKs or whatnot.
I could see that, because MKs got to go.
Yeah.
MKs got to go automatically. Yeah, so, they got to go. They wild.
We got T and Hoop here. They are counting money in the record store, counting up all the bread that they got for moving their bricks. After their conversation, Star rolls in and tells T that Saint has already been handled, which makes T upset. As T said, you know, that was supposed to be me. I was supposed to be the one to take him out. But Star basically tells him straight up, like, yo, you're not supposed to get your hands dirty. You're a boss.
Like, exactly.
Let somebody else handle it.
You got to delegate that.
Yeah, you got to delegate that. T still feels some kind of way because he knows it was Meech's calling. So I think here also he's probably going to have, I don't want to say a close eye, but he's also going to, you know, be watching Sterl now since he took the order from Meech and not from him. You know, you're supposed to be on my, you know, you and my crew in Detroit and you still taking orders from Meech
in Atlanta.
And whatnot. Yeah. So I think he still dapped him up, thanked him, but I think I think he at some point he gonna be watching him like, yo, like y'all still taking orders from me.
This is what I think. I don't want to move too far down the line. I think I'm gonna wait.
Yeah, I know. It's hard not to move. It's hard not to move down the line only because like we know like the real story of BMF. So it's like it's hard not to, but it's like the same. But at the same time, we got to because, you know, since some of the stuff is loosely based, got to see how they flip it. So here we got Meech and Duffy waiting on Rip to come back with a bag, which I guess he unloaded the work that he had while they're sitting there waiting. Remy Ransom boys roll up on them, try to take them out, start blasting off at the car. Then at the same time, MKs, which is a new group this season as well, that's going to be a villain for Meech. They come up choppers off the gate.
Yeah, they got choppers.
They just come out with choppers off the gate. They take out people from Remy Ransom's crew and try to take out Meech, Duffy, and Rip. The only part I didn't understand about this was I was like, okay, y'all defending yourselves, y'all shooting back, but when they was reloading, I was thinking like, yo, this y'all perfect time to shoot back. I was sitting there, I was like, yo, you could hear them. You heard the clips drop. You could hear them reloading. I was like, that was the perfect time. Like, y'all should have went on ahead and started hitting back, but they didn't. This joint was far-fetched for me. This was like some Tom Cruise Mission Impossible.
This was some Tom Cruise.
I seen it right here. Because I was like, bruh. I was like, I know them Cadillacs are built like tanks, but I'm like, bro, both of these dudes got choppers, and they is firing off. Like, ain't no way in the world. Like,
nobody got hit.
Yeah, I'm like, ain't none of, you know what I'm saying? Like, that joint still moving, and he just... That
flat tires, something.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen at some point, was like a flat tire or something like that. And, you know, he put it in reverse, and he opened up the door to grab the bag.
It's probably one of those things that actually happened, but not happened the way that they showed it to happen.
Yeah, probably did. I did want to know what happened to Rip, though. Like, y'all take him to the hospital. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the status? But I'm assuming that he takes him to the hospital. So here we back in the studio. We got Def, Stax, and Diesel, along with Meech, celebrating the whole thing, I guess, for them moving all the work that they had that Meech brought down there. So they all celebrating. As you can see in this scene, still, Stax is still on guard. Like, he ain't really wasn't celebrating like the other two. Like, he was giving him a look, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, I still ain't trying to hear what you talking. Like, I still don't
know. Like, yeah, I still don't know. I still don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Even his clap was fake. He gave one of these little small, like, little whatchamacallit type claps or whatever.
Yeah. So
it was just like, you know what I'm saying? So he's still on edge a little bit about this whole thing. But they end up celebrating, you know, that everything's going on. Claw pulls up on Remy Ransom and tells him that the MK took out their boys, you know, while they was rolling up on Meech. And at the same time, Meech is stepping on his territory. And of course, you know, Remy
Ransom got eyes on him.
Yeah. And Claw says, you know, got eyes on him. And Remy Ransom lets him know, like, don't worry about it. We're going to take care of them one way or another. Like, they going to get there. So in this scene here, we got Kevin that is now being moved to a juvenile center. Of course, Kevin is scared to death. You know, Detective Bryant tells him straight up, like, hey, give me this coloring book. Give me these comics. You know, when you go in there, stay to yourself. Don't say this. Don't do that. Don't take nothing from nobody. Don't take no gifts. Don't even talk. Just go in there.
Cry in the shower.
Yeah, don't cry in the shower. That's all. I was like, damn, dog. Like,
yeah, he said he gave him the rundown because he already know what time it is.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah. And I want to say why, but I'm not going to reveal it yet. It's only because of a picture of a scene that I've saw already. So I don't want to do any spoilers. We'll get to it. But like Jack said, I kind of think like, yeah, bro, he ain't going to make it. But once again, Detective Bryant tells him, like, I got you. I'm going to make sure, you know, I'm going to get you out. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure to get you out. Get you all for this whole gun charge, everything, along with this whole unaliving of, you know, of his bully. In the scene, of course, we got Markeisha, who is now, I guess, fully somewhat recovered in the hospital. T comes with T comes with some flowers. You know, he basically tells her, you know, Saint is gone, done handled it, et cetera, whatever. Now, here was another great scene in this whole episode. I got some questions about this too, but so T rolls up with Markeisha to his parents' crib. It was hilarious what Charles says, like with Charles, because it was crazy because when Charles said it, I swear on everything, that's what I was thinking in my head when he said it. Like, boy, I know you did. Like, really? Like
you got your nerves, bro.
I was thinking T, like, yo, really? Of all the places, I was like, you bring her to your folks' crib.
Well, how would you do that?
So they all sitting down there having a family dinner, about to eat the steaks and everything that Meech purchased. Luana goes off on T for bringing Markeisha to the crib. Luana says, you know, I wish you didn't make it, that you got unalived and everything. And T, like, look at her face. Like, even Markeisha told him again, T, don't listen. She told him straight up it wasn't a good idea. She told him,
man,
that.
I think I'm almost like, when I saw this, I was like, man, I think Luana don't live here at this point. Because now you over here eating dinner. Like, I get the grandparents and everything, but you know what?
Yeah. Whatever. And then I was trying, and at first I was thinking, like, yo, you know what? Luana got every right to be mad. But then I thought about it. I forgot last season, she left him. She left and took the baby and went to stay with her cousins or something like that in Pennsylvania for like some
months. To try to get T up out of the game. You know, but here's my thing. I'm not saying what he did was right, but at this point, it's this is kind of self-inflicted.
Yeah, this right here. I was like, yo, of all
he shouldn't have bought it there, but this is kind of self-inflicted. You don't know when she gonna pop up. You don't know when either one of them gonna pop up. You should just had this. You should have had Marquisha over here, and then when the coast is clear, you bring Marquisha around. You know, whatever. Especially since you're pregnant with your kid. But
exactly.
T is clearly messy.
Yeah, T is clearly messy. So
he's clearly messy.
T asks his mom, Miss Lucille, you know, she needs a safe somewhere safe to stay. Can she stay here? You know, whatnot for the time being. You know, till he get on his feet. And they have a conversation with T. T doesn't like the conversation and basically tells Charles and Lucille that he is moving out. Now, here's what I didn't understand, and then we'll jump back to you, Jack. What I didn't understand about this whole joint was, first off, I'm like, yo, I don't know why you thought your folks' house was safe, number one, when, it's crazy, I can't even remember his name now from last Lamar. Season. Yeah, when Lamar showed up at your folks' doorstep, number one. Number two, everybody knows in the city where your folks stay at. Then three, I'm like, bruh, you got this huge BMF chain on. You driving around in a Benz with gold wheels. You talking about you just put down some money on a new house. And then
big ass house, as he said.
Big ass house. So I'm thinking like, bruh, you got all this bread and it didn't hit you to be like, yo, let's go to like a hotel or let me get like an apartment or condo or something.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think about that, to be honest. I didn't even think about that. But I think they setting this up for something else though. For sure, for sure. I think they setting this up for something with Luanda and Marquisha is gonna end up being something. They gotta be, you know, because why we had two run ins with them in the same episode. They setting us up for something else.
Yeah. DJ, as a matter of fact, you're probably right. I don't know if it's going to be where maybe they fight or something like that, but I was
it's going to be something.
You got all this bread, and I didn't even understand it. That's why when he said, I'm moving out, and I was like, bro, why was you still living there in the first place?
Like, that's the part I didn't understand. You like, I was like, moving out.
Like, even though Meech got thrown out, Meech had his own crib. I'm like, bro, y'all making all this bread, and you're still at the crib? Like, that whole scene.
Maybe because he was young, you know, like you still talking about fresh out of high school, you know, young, you know, Big Meech dropped out of high school, you know, but T was still, you know, kind of in high school, you know, doing his thing. So maybe he still had that young mentality, but now he got to the point where he got this grown woman, you know, now he's thinking, you know, like, all right, I'm grown. Let me go home. Let me leave the nest. He probably feels as though he really didn't have to, because even though he was getting all that bread, his mentality was still fresh out of high school.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You know what? I didn't even think about that. That's right. I forgot that she is older than T. She's like
grown, a lot older. Yeah.
What, 25, 26 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Yeah. Like a lot
what,
older.
18, 19, yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I ain't even think about that. Yeah, you're right on that. So we got Detective Brian, who is sitting outside of the Juby Center drinking. I guess basically he going to sleep out there just to make, which I was just like, I don't know. Ain't nothing you can really do for Kevin.
There's nothing he can
out.
Do.
But I guess nothing. Maybe he wanted to be out there just in case something happened. He was close by. Puts the little cigarette through the, I think that was T. Yeah, that was T picture.
Yeah, that was T. You know Polaroid.
Yeah, the Polaroid throws it out the window, whatnot. Detective Jen and Emerson, they roll up and find Saint unalive. They find his body already unalived in his bed, or is, I don't know. I'm assuming that's
marks
the bed
about this.
Or whatnot. During this time, she sends Emerson out, and she looks under the bed and ends up finding two bricks that she ends up putting in her jacket. Now, I same question. When I saw it, I was like, okay, what the hell is she doing with this?
Yeah.
So then I sat there, and I was like, that ain't make sense. So then when I watched it again, I was like, you know what? I'm thinking Because I'm thinking, like, the way they shot it, I'm thinking, I bet you they're probably going to make it seem like she's a dirty cop. But I'm thinking one or two things. I'm thinking either...
She'll be thinking the same thing.
She's going to... She's taking those to replace those bricks that that Brian... Remember those two bricks? I think it was last season that Brian took. Mm-hmm. She's going to take those to put them back. Or... somewhere down the line, she's going to try to use those two bricks to set up T.
I was thinking more of the latter. She's going to use those two bricks to set up T.
Yeah.
Because they have some type of connection. You know, her and Detective Brian. Like, first I was like, this don't make any sense. What's she planning on going on the streets and bubble? Like, what did she plan on doing? Like, what is she plan on doing? This doesn't make any sense. But when I thought about it more and more, I was like, nah, they about to get ready to try to plant this.
Yeah. That was the same thing. Yeah. I think it's one of the two things. But I'm like you, Jack. I'm leaning more towards, like, she's going to use that somehow, some way to try to set up T to take him down. Because now she's like Brian. Is still hell bent on taking down Meech and T and the whole BMF squad. Mm-hmm. Where we have T back at the record store with the BMF Detroit, and he tells all of them that, you know, they're no longer going to be meeting up in the record store anymore. Their new headquarters will now be a restaurant that T just purchased. And, you know, they're celebrating, whatnot. They all think that T was the one who took out Saint, which we all know he didn't. So they're giving him his props, you know, like, yeah, you know, you did it. You got the street cred, et cetera, whatever.
And this look tells me a lot. I think this is going to come back to haunt Big T somehow, some way, because of this look. It was kind of a, like, you know, I got you look, you know, whatever. But why mention it again? I think it's going to come back in. I think it's going to come back and bite, you know, and bite tea. I never ate the rooster tail. But it was way, way too expensive for me. I promised the rooster tail, but they do definitely had calamari there. But anyway. But I think this conversation, or I think that this scene at some point is going to come back up, and they're going to find out that somebody else is going to find out that T ain't make that move, that somebody else made that move for him.
Yeah.
And they're going to question him.
Yeah. I didn't even look at that. I just looked at it as it was Sterl giving him a head nod, like, see, you, they don't need to know that you ain't get your hands dirty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you the boss. But now that you said that, that's, you know what, you probably right, and that's probably how we're gonna end up losing Sterl. Sterl might not make it out this season because they're gonna end up finding out that Sterl was the actual one who took him out. Maybe somebody from Sterl's camp is gonna be the ones that run their mouth, and like you said, they all gonna find out that T wasn't the actual one.
Yeah, T wasn't the shooter. Yeah, and T had to prove himself somehow, some way. Like, T ain't the shooter.
Yep, that T's not the shooter. So we got T on the phone here with none other than Meech, and he tells Meech, you know, like, hey, you know, you still trying to run things here. You supposed to be in Atlanta, you know, and finding out the whole thing about Sterl and doing that and whatnot. And Meech tells him about, you know, the highways are wide open down here. They're accessible to almost every big city, you know, Texas, St. Louis, all that different stuff. And this is how they're going to make their moves going forward, which is hopping on those highways down there and flooding the market out with their work and whatnot. And T just, you know, casually agrees, whatnot. So then here it rolls over to T, Stacks, Duffy, and Diesel forgot the club name. They try to run up in the club or whatnot, and they get turned down and say that they cannot come in. And
they try to go see Glock.
I thought they were just going to the club.
I think they were trying. No, they were trying to see. They were trying to see Glock. They were just going to the club because, you know, at first it was like when they had the conversation when they seemed like they was back at
That's right, at Duffy's spot. That's right.
Yeah, Duffy's spot. And it was we're gonna go to this club, you know. That Glock's gonna be there, and maybe we can. And he was trying to line something up with Glock, who I don't think we've seen this episode. And he was trying to line something up with MKs. And he was like, so you know, some the enemy of my enemies is you know, a friend of mine, you know, type stuff. He was like, you know, I'm just on this by any means necessary. So they did come there. They were just going to the club, but they did definitely come there with an agenda to actually sit down and holler at Glock. They were trying to get Glock and the MKs together to go against Remy, so they can move Remy.
Yeah. So my only question is from this scene right here. We all know that this is Glock.
That is Glock.
From, I could be 100% wrong, but I'm like 99% sure. Like, this is Glock, who is the head of the MKs. But I was lost because when Meech said, "Well, tell him to come out here," I'm thinking like, "Yo, do they even? Maybe they don't know what Glock looks like."
That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm like, I don't think we saw him. Like, I don't think they actually identified who Glock was.
Yeah.
But it could be.
But I'm like 99% sure. I got that 1% I could be wrong. But I feel like I'm almost sure, like, this is Glock. I'm almost sure, like, this is Glock. But Glock tells them, you know, y'all ain't running around here. Get the stepping. Y'all not coming in here. You know what I'm saying? Whatnot. We ain't got nothing to talk about. So after they walk off, Remy Ransom pulls up on them once again and brings out none other than their boy Dice, who has now been unalive. And he tells them, well, tells Meech, you need to go on back up top, up the north, shovel some snow. Like, if not, you know what I'm saying? Because we're just going to keep sending your crew home in body bags. So I was lost because I was like, if Remy Ransom getting all this money too, like, that's. But I don't know. I was like, that's the call you got, bro? Like,
Remy Ransom paying everybody rent, mortgage, and everything else. You know, he making sure everybody else around him is good. So I said the exact same thing. Like, dude, is that a Caprice Classic that you just ride? A dusty Caprice Classic. Like, it ain't even clean, bro. Like, you know, but I'm looking at it as Remy Ransom is just one of those people that just want to, he's going to make sure that everybody benefits off what he's doing. And this is why he drive that car that he drive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I ain't even think about it from that way.
Yeah.
Okay, for whatever reason, joint don't want to keep going. But so that is the end of the episode. Not sure what's happening. We had more slides after this to get into the next episode, but for whatever reason, they don't pop up. But it don't matter. We keep moving. So, episode 2, we are going to get introduced to a new character. If you saw from the preview, who is none other than Ren King. She is a new character who is going to be based out of Detroit. Not sure what her character is, but we can see that she has some type of meeting with T and basically calls BMF snakes or something. So maybe she has some backstory that we're going to end up finding out about and whatnot. So, I don't think there was anybody else in that. I don't think there was anybody else in that that was,
I don't think so either.
That was in that trailer that we hadn't seen before. I believe it was just the Ren King. She was new that we had not seen before. We also saw in that same trailer T and his crew are meeting up with somebody else. So I'm guessing maybe this is another crew he's going to try to put on, try to work something out, or maybe that could be people from Saints Camp that's meeting up with him to try to figure out, you know, the whole situation and everything, you know, with Saint being taken out. We also saw in the trailer Meech getting shot at, they was trying to take him out. So not sure who that could possibly be because he got multiple people trying to take him out. So I'm gonna probably guess the MKs more than likely. It's probably gonna be the MKs or whatnot. Cause if I remember, I think they're one of the guys that was unalived in the house in the trailer. It looked like a Haitian guy. And then of course we also saw that Detective Jen and Amberson are watching T as they were taking pictures of him outside of his restaurant. So, I don't know about you, but I am anxious to see episode two, see what we got kicked off for this season. I'm definitely interested in seeing more about this Ren King character. I'm trying to see, like, what's her whole goal. I guess maybe she's just going to be the villain for T in Detroit while Meech got several villains down in Atlanta versus him. I'm not sure, but what predictions you got for the next episode?
I'm kind of like you. I just want to see what's going to happen for the next episode. I think Meech is going to try to make more connections to try to iron this Atlanta thing out. Of course, we know eventually he does because we already know how the story ends, mm-hmm. you know. But I'm just trying to see how. I guess my biggest attraction to the whole BMF. The old BMF series is comparing and contrast and what happened to versus yeah. what they're showing us and getting a little bit more insight, yeah. Watching it actually all play out, play out on there. Yeah. I expect something big is going to happen this season. Like I said, I don't really think necessarily two chains is going to make it out of this season, or Stacks rather. I don't think he's going to make it out of this season. Hell, I'm not even sure how many times we actually going to see Green throughout the, yeah. throughout the episode. What roles is he going to play? But I definitely want to see, how he goes to laundering his money. I want to see at some point when Southwest T decides that he's going to leave Detroit. Next episode should be interesting. It should be really, really interesting.
Should be, yeah, I agree with you. It should be very, very interesting as I agree with you on that. Please make sure like, subscribe, drop your comments down below. Let us know what y'all think.
Please do.
It's going to happen on the second episode. Also, make sure you turn your notifications on as we will be dropping a episode two prediction sometime this week. So we will be back again with y'all next week for episode two.